Mafia. We are the Lavender Mafia. Oh, we are the Lavender Mafia. We are the Lavender Mafia.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Can you believe it's December 2021? This is crazy.
The year's almost over.
What the hell is going on?
About damn time, if you ask me.
I just can't believe. I can't believe that we are, like, that we went through a pandemic. I can't believe all the things. Like, I don't even understand that it's December 2021. It's kind of blown my mind right now.
Yeah.
So what are we, since it is December, it's the holidays, I think I was thinking earlier that I wanted to talk about Advent. What do you think about that?
Let's milk that Christmas cash cow.
God, I hope it is a cash cow. No, it's interesting because the first time that I was exposed to Advent was actually fairly recently. Last year I worked for an unaffirming Lutheran church, which is a story in and of itself, which some of you know. I was just trying to shake things up. Little did I know that they also didn't approve of women pastors, so that was fun. But I never had heard of Advent because I did not grow up with it. So I had to have, it was funny because they tried to teach me and then I said, you really have to break it down. Like, you really have to break it down. So I would love, Jack, because you come from, you grew up the way I did, but you really have like invested strongly in mainline denomination of Episcopal. So I would love to hear your explanation of Advent. What is Advent?
Well, I'm still a baby Episcopalian, so this is subject to question by those who've been in these kinds of traditions longer. But the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, each has a theme kind of tied into celebrating a season of the coming of God into the world and the person of Jesus Christ that we celebrate at Christmas. And part of celebrating Advent is lighting a candle in an Advent wreath once each Sunday. So on the first Sunday, you light the candle of hope. And second Sunday, you light the first candle and then the candle of peace and then of joy and then of love. And then on Christmas, you light the Christ candle. Sometimes there are different
orders.
Names, different orders, different colors. We were talking earlier and I said, this is why we persecuted the heretics and we were right to do it. That one standard. No, I'm not into that. We're queer here.
Yeah, we are. We are. It's interesting. I had no idea that there were specific hymns that were Advent hymns and then specific hymns that were Christmas hymns.
Yeah, usually they just get lumped all together.
Right. I thought that is really interesting, like, and kind of cool, because there was, at least for me growing up, an evangelical church. Well, first I want to say, like, we wanted to talk about each of those things. This week, we wanted to talk about hope and peace and just kind of dig into that individually. But in terms of history for each of us, for me, I didn't get all the prefacing. Like, the experience I had is mostly practicing in choirs for that specific Christmas Eve service that was a big deal and was mostly musical. Like, that was music driven. I mean, like, that was what we did, preparing for to celebrate just Christmas and the birth of Jesus. We didn't really spend much time talking about all of the things leading up to Jesus's birth. The way that I appreciate the tradition of Advent and the things that I'm learning around it. I appreciate how intentional it is with the idea of lighting a candle. One of the traditions that the UCC church that I work for does is they have someone new who's in the church, or someone who is who has a family, come up and light a candle and then talk about that theme, like, what does, you know, how do I see hope in these difficult times, or like whatever it is, and talk about hope from their perspective, and also how they've seen it personified in their experience at the church. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really beautiful tradition. Yeah. Have you seen it show up for your experience?
I feel like I mostly see the priests do that sort of thing.
Hmm.
Although it seems to me like a good opportunity to bring onto the stage people who don't normally get to be included in the liturgy of a service. So, like, let's get some transes up there.
Yeah.
Some Black, Indigenous people of color, some women.
Yeah.
Diversify that shit.
Well, yeah. So this Sunday we're doing Hope, and I offered to talk on it just because a few of the people that we considered were feeling a little bit like shy. Uh-huh. And I also thought, you know, if there's a topic I want to talk about, it's going to be hope. And you talking about getting some people to diversify and the minorities up on stage, it makes sense to me, because we have to dig deep within ourselves and find, you know, find these bits of hope, and really that's what drives us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I grew up in a really difficult family situation, with my dad being sick at such a young age, and having to take leadership in my family at 14, and we never really had much. And so hope was I'm thankful that my parents really engaged and encouraged us to have faith, which feels very similar mm-hmm. to hope. And to believe that, like, God was going to take care of us. And so I believe that that has really, like, shaped who I am and how I've approached most things. Like, I'm a freaking entrepreneur that has started, like, multiple small businesses and organizations, and a few of them successfully. And it's, that requires a shit ton of hope.
Yeah.
To believe that, like, this is going to work out, you know, or mm-hmm. this, all this effort that I put into this, to this relationship with this future client is going to work out, or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In my personal life, with my wife being sick and with fibromyalgia, and us, like, dealing with even in the pandemic, you know, like dealing with all of the fear. What combats that fear? Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope for a better tomorrow. You know, I kept thinking specifically about how innovative creatives were going to have to be during that time. And
right.
even us, we did that. We got innovative and creative with our group that we run with Lavender Mafia. And we got innovative and creative with the podcast and to reach mm-hmm. more people. And I don't think that would have happened if it hadn't been for this hard crisis.
Yeah.
We had to dream. We had to hope for a better future. And that helped drive that better future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's something about the queer experience that drives us to hope. Absolutely more than the, like, normal cishet
yes.
experience that we've talked about a number of times on the podcast. Like, if you feel like you fit into the world, because you do, because the world has been designed for you, then there isn't the same impetus to imagine a better world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of the amazing art has been created by queer people or other people in communities that suffer significantly
mm-hmm.
because we, there's something in the human spirit that strives for bettering ourselves and our community and our world. And those of us who grow up and or live in situations of suffering, like to survive,
mm-hmm.
we imagine and work on ways of making things better.
One thing that I think is interesting, I feel like the words hope, peace, love, joy have been used so much in materialistic culture around mm-hmm. Christmas that they've become kind of paper thin.
Yeah.
And when I think about the word hope, I have to add on these other words to strengthen them, to give hope this like foundational support that hope really is,
mm-hmm.
right? Like to hope isn't have hope. Like to hope takes guts. Like to hope takes millions of people going out and protesting and going on the front lines and believing that we can change our government policy, mm-hmm. that we can change how police show up in our world in America, to continue to live here and believe that we can make this a better place, to live in this spirituality of choosing to continue being Christian in a church perspective takes fucking hope.
Mm-hmm.
It has so much more weight to it than I think we give it credit for.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a lot of people just use hope as like, oh, I hope I'm gonna get this for Christmas, or I hope I'm gonna get like this promotion, or mm-hmm. I hope I'm gonna get this gig. And like it's good to hope for things that are good, but there are so many bigger things that we could be setting our hopes on,
mm-hmm.
putting our hope in.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I love about the season of Advent is when we like take time to dig into the like expectations of the coming of the Messiah and what the Jewish people were hoping for and longing for, like freedom from political oppression and enslavement, as well as the like more spiritual stuff that we're more used to emphasizing in Christian churches, especially around Christmas.
Like, I'd never really thought about I have thought about it, but not so strongly just recently because Advent wasn't a part of my tradition, but I'm thinking about that comparison of like Hanukkah and mm-hmm. the lighting of the candles for them and the tradition they've created there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sure there's a similar, like lighting candles is a very religious and spiritual ritualistic
mm-hmm.
thing to do. But seeing that comparison is really interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hanukkah also about like fighting for freedom from oppression also.
Yeah, that's so interesting to think about. I agree with you that I love that this season creates a space to have these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And to think about, I think we miss the mark when we don't think about how it relates to us in modern times.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talk about how it has affected people in the storybook of the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't say, how is this so similar to what we are going through or what other people in our oppressed communities are going through?
Right. Like it can feel so, like you said, storybook to think about Jews living under the thumb of Rome. Like we don't know what that is like, but a lot of us know what it's like to be afraid when we see a police officer or a police car,
mm-hmm.
or we know what it's like to feel afraid when we see like a group of real like bro-y cishet guys.
Yeah.
At night.
Triggered.
Like, and you're a dude in dress and heels, like walking down the street and come upon a group of people who don't seem like they're waving the trans flag every June. Like, we know what it's like to feel oppressed. We know what it's like to feel these invisible bars around us and to long to hope for freedom from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say if, you know, we talked about this in our last episode, that if the church could realize how much they would benefit from having like individuals from the LGBTQ community in their congregations, this is a big reason why, is that the amount of belief and hope and faith in a bettering of our society and a bettering of our culture and a bettering of the way we do church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have so much to bring to the table. If they're there, they're not there because all they want to do is criticize. They're there because they want to make better what we have, right?
Right.
And I think that that's an incredibly beautiful and valuable thing.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about like peace, what's like the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the word peace?
It's probably like way LA of me, but like a sort of Zen, like inner peace, like a calm. I mean, it's very Christian sort of thing too, for all the like parts and passions of yourself to be like at one with each other. Like, you're not kind of fighting against any other part of yourself. What do you think of when you think of peace?
The first thing I think of is a hymn.
Take when us to
peace
church.
Like a river. That one. That one hits me first.
That's Be Still My Soul. Is that right?
I think so, yes.
I think the writer of that hymn wrote that after like his wife and kids died in a shipwreck.
I know that there was one hymn writer that's definitely truth. It is well. That's it.
It is well with my
it
soul.
It is well with my soul. Yeah, that's correct. Yes. Yeah, that is true. I had to do this song a lot during the multiple memorials I did for the UCC church at the end of the summer. So it's When Peace Like a River. Well, I'll just sing it. I mean, why
Go
not?
For it.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul.
That could be written by somebody so racked with grief and going through such suffering is really moving. Like, that piece could be state not of unfeeling, but of being passionate, but also unshakable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Yeah. And like, that's what I love about thinking of peace in that way. Cause I agree that like sometimes my head first goes to like 70s movement, like 70s peace and love. But then when you really dig in, like, people joke about, oh, peace and love, and I've got my two, you know, fingers up for peace right now.
Mm-hmm.
You really think about the torment that those people were in. with the Vietnam War and like pushing back, like we can relate.
Yeah.
Protesting and like being in crowds protesting and then being shot at, like, and just saying like all we want is peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I think about the heaviness or the solidness of the word peace in the sense of when I have been in some of the deepest, darkest times and I have finally realized maybe I should ask God for some help. Maybe I should pray for some calm. And it's almost certain every time. And I think it's because I wait so long. I think it's because I forget and because I continue to try to push through on my own that when I finally cry out, God gives me incredible peace. And it feels like a storm. It feels like, you know, sea billows, like when they're talking about like a big storm, it feels like a storm that then all of a sudden has calm. And that's what I think about when I'm thinking about the word peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a way of thinking about peace that requires like all the sort of external circumstances to line up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the peace of like rich white cishet people. Like that's not on the table for most of us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a deeper kind of peace to like the storm is raging and you know you're going to be okay anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember
it's so good. Yeah.
Growing up, a lot of pastors would talk about like the good Christian is like a tree that's deeply rooted. Like the Psalms use this image a lot. So like when anything comes like earthquake or strong winds or floods, like the tree is so rooted where it is that it can sway, but it's not going over. It's not going to be toppled. Now, these bitches didn't know what they're talking about because these are the same people who like won't put on a fucking mask
mm-hmm.
during a pandemic. Tree deeply rooted in my ass.
Mm-hmm.
Deeply rooted like a dandelion. But like we know what it's like to be like that. We know what it's like to experience hardship and just keep coming back,
mm-hmm.
keep getting up, keep experiencing resurrection. We talked about the podcast and me starting like new branch of Loud and Mafia, my Episcopal church, and somebody came one week who was like very unpleasant, to put it diplomatically.
Mm.
And I talked to a church staff member about him and he said like I really thought that we were gonna like lose you, like you were gonna stop coming to the church because of this. And I was like, because of that? Like, bitch, I've gotten death threats.
Right.
You're gonna leave for that?
Wow.
Lol.
You're funny.
Like queer people, whether or not we've decided to stay in kind of Christian spaces, like we've gone through so much just to survive that like a lot of us have fought our way to a kind of peace that doesn't need all the externals mm-hmm. to line up in our favor
mm-hmm.
to keep us from being shaken.
That's really good. I already have an answer, and because I'm thinking of this question, but I'd like to hear yours. Like, how does peace show up in your like daily life? Where is somewhere that peace just, if you really need that calm, where, how does it show up in your daily life?
I think for me, one of the places where peace shows up is kind of how I'm like looking at like long-term sort of career and ministry kinds of things. And even in the like short term, like I'm about to go to an event, how am I deciding how to like show up?
Mm.
And I think of the peace in the terms of like what's a like community of flourishing that I'm hoping for? Like, what's that kind of piece? What does a piece of the community look like, and how do I work towards it?
Yeah. That was beautiful. I think of two things. I feel like God's gift of peace for me is being true to myself and my whole self and all of my identity and identities, and being able to be open and honest. I encountered a moment over the last couple of months, and I'm still kind of in it, where I wasn't being fully open with the UCC community about being poly because I didn't want to overwhelm them. And I mean, you could do a little bit of digging on me and you know I'm poly. I'm public about it everywhere.
Right.
But I wasn't making it a huge part of my vocabulary, and I had to alter it. And many people are comfortable with that. I haven't had to be comfortable with that for years. And that was really anxiety inducing for me. And so I really value my queerness and my ability to be public and being at that place in my life. The other thing that comes to mind is when I'm really anxious or I'm feeling overwhelmed by a project or just by a day because multiple things are happening, I can come home and settle into the arms of both my wife and girlfriend, and it just, it's like it doesn't matter what's happening outside those doors or what's happening in the next hour or what's happening tomorrow. I know that that I'm loved by them, and I believe that God has given me them as a beautiful gift of peace.
I love that. I love that the peace that we experience when we come out of closets. The peace that comes when we let it or make it be that our different parts are not at war with each other anymore. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I hope, look at me being cheesy.
Hey, I see what you did there.
You see what I'm about to do? I really, truly hope for that sort of peace for all of our community, and especially those of you that are listening that are in various levels of in between, whether it's internal acceptance of yourself or it's fighting a war of acceptance in your families and in your community spaces. I truly am praying for that sort of peace to permeate your spirit. And I also pray that you're able to really dive into hope in despairing times. Because I feel like a lot of us deal with mental health issues, a lot of us in the queer community, for obvious reasons. And we're about to enter into this season that depression runs rampant. And for those of us that are in the community that that deal with a heavy amount of depression, I pray that you find a space or community that makes you feel comfortable being your whole self, even if it is online, even if it is in a Discord chat or in a once a month group. I hope that you're able to find that, because it gives you a level of peace and comfort that it's hard to find otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. As individuals and as a community, we as queer people have a lot of reasons to despair and a lot of reasons to hope. Our last episode was on Trans Day of Remembrance and trans issues. And when we think about those things, like, we can think about how far we still have to come as a society and how far Christianity has to come as a religion. But we've come so far and in not that long, like in just a couple generations, it's astounding how far like the queer rights movement has come. Like there are good reasons to hope as a community. And a lot of us as individuals have experienced times, sometimes some of us lots of times, where it just felt like there was nothing worth living for.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us have come out of those times into times of flourishing.
Yes.
And sometimes back into despair.
Yeah.
And then back into hope and flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the human, especially the queer human experience.
Yeah.
And if that's you, if it feels like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, know that like Jess and I and a lot of the rest of your queer siblings have been there, and some of us are there now, but that there is light even if you can't see it now.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is something, Lavender Mafia podcast is something that we started because we wanted to be a light for mm-hmm. people who are feeling trapped in that darkness. And so far that we have exceeded that hope and that expectation for many. And then in starting our Patreon, we've been able to build relationships with a couple of our listeners who we've been able to kind of watch them grow. That's been a beautiful, beautiful thing. One of the tiers of our Patreon support is that we get to have a conversation with the person, you know, once a month. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's really cool to dive into your lives and hear about your stories and your experiences, and then watch you flourish and grow and also be accessible. Our community on Facebook is there as well. Our Lavender Mafia podcast community is on Facebook, and people have been able to create relationships there with each other. To even if it's one other person that you bond with, it makes a world of difference to the survival of ourselves in these moments, you know, and like mm-hmm. and remind ourselves like there are things to celebrate.
Absolutely.
About ourselves, you know. So yeah, I really wish for you all and hope for you all and pray for you all peace and hope. And if you are struggling during this season and this time, please reach out.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, Jack and I are both ministry leaders and pastors, and we really are doing this because we love you and we want to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, feel free to find us anywhere. Honestly, like I've gotten the most intimate, you know, text messages, or I've gotten the most intimate messages on TikTok, you know, or on our Instagram or Twitter at Lav Mafia. We have started a TikTok at Lav Mafia. Speaking of TikTok, and so please go over and follow us. If we don't have a video up yet, at least you'll have followed us and it'll show up in your feed once the videos start getting posted. But pretty sure there'll be at least one video up there by the time that you follow us and this episode gets out. But we really want to connect with you. And if you're feeling a little fearful about putting your own name on it, you can absolutely email us anonymously at thelavendermafia@gmail.com, and feel we'd love to talk to you, and I'd much rather have you feel that you have someone than have no one.
Absolutely. And I'd love to hear from our listeners like what they're hoping for or what they find peace in. So hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at lavmafia, lavmafia. If you love what we're doing and want to see us continue to do it, hope you'll consider going over to Patreon at patreon.com/lavmafia and becoming a monthly supporter.
Right now, we have our highest tier of $35 and our lowest tier of, I think, $5 or $1. But you can also give us more than that.
if the spirit moves, yeah.
It is the holiday season. And honestly, the few people that have helped us out aren't rolling in it. Mm-hmm. But they believe in what we're doing. And it's allowed us to be able to, you know, purchase merch and move forward with all of this. So we're really excited about moving forward and growing with all of you and continuing to provide this space, this really safe space for people.
Mm-hmm. And look forward in the coming weeks to more Christmas themed stuff.
Yay!
Cha-ching!
All right, gorgeous faves, be fierce, keep the faith.
And don't fuck it up. Our amazing music is written and produced by Evan Coles of Springwood Productions. Speaking of Springwood, I just want to thank them for recording, mixing, and producing our audio. Without them, this podcast wouldn't be happening. Springwood is made up of passionate creatives who are really easy to work with and professional, and they really know their stuff. So if you need anything like video or audio production, or they can really do anything to help your music or business. Like, they got me Taco Bell one time, for God's sake. So go check them out at springwoodproductions.com.